ASI is a ministry that's networking all these different ministries together with the church.
Being involved with ASI, meeting other people.
ASI Convention is an excellent opportunity, just a great opportunity.
People that are in ASI, there's a particular fellowship.
ASI is really the stamp. It's the glue that holds all the ministries together.
Welcome to ASI Video Magazine. I'm Dan Houghton. I've been an ASI member for many years now, and I'm continually amazed by the wide variety of effective ministries that ASI members are involved in. No matter where they are or what they do, ASI members are committed to sharing Christ in the marketplace. Today, we're going to meet two ASI members who exemplify that commitment. Derry Campbell lives in Wisconsin and is the plant manager for Rhodes International, a distributor of frozen bread products. Derry is active in evangelism at home right in Wisconsin, and he and his wife give Bible studies to numerous individuals. For a number of years now, Derry and his wife have also held evangelistic meetings in Thailand, resulting in more than 200 baptisms.
We'd like to welcome each of you here. We have a large group from Madison. My old friend Jared Collins has visited us a couple times, and he's brought some friends, and I think they're going to be sharing some things with us this afternoon, not with the church, but giving a testimony of some of the work that's been happening in Madison. How many of you know what ASI is? ASI stands for Adventist Layman's Services and Industries. Some of us are officially ASI members, but in truth, we're all ASI members. The motto of ASI is sharing God in the marketplace. Our marketplace is wherever we are. And some of you might say, well, I'm not in business, I don't have them. But if you go out to the store and buy groceries, that's your marketplace.
In 1986, three families from the Wisconsin Academy Church decided to come down and plant the church here in Beaver Dam. Of course, we were flush with money. We had $35 in the bank as a congregation. But we wrote an offer. We offered them $35,000 for the building. And amazingly, they accepted that. And then the conference was working with us, but told us that we would have to have 2/3 of the money before we could go ahead with the transaction. So we had a fundraising campaign, and within 90 days, we had raised $30,000, had the building almost paid for, and moved in. And this building has been serving this congregation now for 21 years. Interestingly enough, the three families that started the church, once the church was well grounded, we all left and went to other places, and other people have kept this church going over the past 20 years. But over a period of time, people moved away. Some of the elderly members have passed on, and membership was down to 24 people, but they had an attendance of somewhere around 10 to 15 people per week, but they were fading. And Jenny and I made the decision to move back, and shortly after we moved back, one of the other original families also moved back with us. We've had some interesting experiences since then. The membership on the day that we moved back was 24. Now with some families that are transferring in and joining our church, our membership's up to 46.
A few years ago, if you would have attended, you would have said this church is, you know, on its way to locking its doors. And we were really almost in need of a new church plant here. I mean, it got down to that few people, and they were, you know, not in the best of health, and and getting up in age, and yet there were stalwart people that just kept the faith and kept hoping and kept praying, and God heard those prayers. And I suppose that can be inspiring to somebody out there who's in a little church somewhere in a smallish town, and things just don't seem to be happening. But man, if you're steadfast, I think, and hang in there, eventually something good is going to happen.
We're currently holding a prophecy seminar. Our expectations are that we'll baptize 10 to 12 people from the seminar. We have commitments from several already.
I think that a church does best and it's healthiest when it's working for others, you know, to have a mission. Because when you don't have that, you just are looking inward, and you know, there's always interrelational problems that can rise up. But when you press together to do something for God, you put that stuff away and realize, you know, it's just not important. We've got big mountains to climb, you know. We got something important to do.
Originally, it started out because Sean and I were roommates, and I noticed that he sort of had an interest in the Bible and in God in general. So we conducted our own sort of mini Bible studies, but we both quickly realized that we were both a little, amateurs, novices to the Bible scriptures. So instead of fumbling through scriptures, we ended up contacting Jared, who we knew was more well-versed in the scriptures.
Well, since I was a kid, I've been pretty interested in religions and just meaning of life in general. So I've been reading different kind of books. My parents brought back books of Buddhism, of books of evolution from America. So since I was a kid, I've been pretty interested. But over the years, my interest only grew more. So in college, I started studying with Sabbath because he was an Adventist and I wasn't at the time. So, well, there were some questions he couldn't answer me. So eventually, that's why, as he has mentioned, we went to Jared.
Derry Campbell, who was a member, he was the head elder at the church where I'm now a member in Madison, Wisconsin. He came to Madison East Seventh-day Adventist Church and gave a presentation with reference to these Bible studies. He is a member of ASI, and myself and several others went to this presentation that Elder Campbell gave. And after the presentation, we were each giving a free set of the New Beginnings DVD Bible studies. And we were encouraged to begin our own Bible study group. And shortly after that, Sabbath, who I knew from campus before and from church, he called me, contacted me, and told me that a friend of his, Shung, who was interested in learning more about the Bible, wanted to start a Bible study. And so they began coming over to my apartment on Friday evenings, and we began watching these DVDs.
We were just looking for DVD training and using the New Beginnings series to give Bible studies to start a small group. But that small group has grown from two people taking Bible studies with Jared into a campus ministry that is now a certified ministry on campus.
Recently, we got our student organization registered on campus at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The name is Campus Hope, and the word HOPE is an acronym representing helping others prepare for eternity. That name we borrowed from the Campus Hope group on the University of Michigan.
With the involvement of other people, it has now grown into what they call WYC, Wisconsin Youth Congress. And they had their first meeting this past summer in August. And I understand they had about 60 attendees. And they continue to have their group meetings and continuing to plan other activities and just sharing the gospel there on the campus of the UW.
It's funny because when Derry does the DVD training, he always asked that the individuals in his group in the seminar to write down at least 10 names to start praying for that they'll have an opportunity to reach out to. And Derry and I both make a new list for each seminar ourselves to start praying about. We had also put our daughter, Karen, on the list.
We finished the training that evening at 7 o'clock, came home, went to bed. The next morning we received a call from Karen, and her first words were, "Dad, when can we start Bible studies?"
We've put down the drinking. The smoking's a little struggle. And John's asked for the Sabbath off. And it took him a couple weeks, but he finally got that taken care of. And we have our children every other weekend, and we try to be here every week, bring the two boys to church. And like Dad said, we want to be baptized and married on the same day.
We attended the National Convention in Albuquerque, New Mexico, several years ago. On the way to the hotel, my son said, "Dad, how much does it cost you to attend the ASI convention?" And I said, "Well, typically with the flight for both of us, renting a car, the cost of the hotel, the cost of registration, it's probably about $2,000 to attend a meeting." And he said, "Why on earth would you spend $2,000 just to come and sit in meetings?" And I said, "Well, come and attend the meetings, and afterwards ask me that question again." On Friday evening, the next evening, the Youth for Jesus young people were sharing their experiences. And there was a young girl, I believe she was a sophomore at an academy, mm-hmm. and 15 years old. And she related how she had come to Youth for Jesus just because some of her friends were coming. She had no idea that she would end up being the speaker at her venue. And she shared her experiences and the number of people that had been baptized and what an amazing experience it had been in her life. And when she was done, the moderator asked her, "What do you have to say to our group of ASI members?" And she looked out at the audience and she said, "I'm just a little girl, 15 years old. This is what I've done. What have you been doing?" And I looked over at my son, and the tears were running down his cheeks. And I asked him, "Do you want to ask me that question now?" And he said, "No, but I do have another question for you. Where was ASI when I was a teenager?"
We didn't know about it then.
Whatever our strengths and weaknesses, God is able to use us to reach others for Him if only we're willing. And when we do get out of our comfort zones, God is able to do tremendous things. Our 5 loaves and 2 fishes are a limitless supply to God. ASI is made up of members like Derry Campbell, who are willing to step out in faith and tell the world about Jesus. The Happiness Books have been an ongoing ASI project for more than 20 years. Through this project, ASI sponsors the printing of Spirit of Prophecy books, which are then sold at minimal cost. They provide individuals with an inexpensive and attractive way to witness to friends and neighbors. Today, more than 5 million Happiness Books have been distributed. For ordering information, contact your local Adventist Book Center.
Sharing Christ in the marketplace is not just for the adults, but it's for the young people too.
ASI gives them an opportunity to come to the forefront and use their talents and ability that God has given them.
They learn that God can use them. They're not too young.
You see God using you to impact other people's lives.
I find it difficult to find something more effective than what the Youth for Jesus is doing today.
Seeing the immense poverty and need in Haiti, Reg King was profoundly touched. So in 1992, he started the mission in that country. Today, Haiti Mission Outreach has a clinic, a dental office, and some schools in Haiti. They've also drilled wells, set up solar panels, and distributed humanitarian supplies. Let's find out more about Reg and the Haiti Mission Outreach.
Out in the village of Arnaud, where our clinic is, this is typical local housing. It goes from this to worse. A lot of cardboard and sheet metal enclosures. Very, very primitive. But look at the smiles on these kids. I mean, these kids are, they have nothing and they're happy. So we have a lot to learn from these people. We were on a windsurfing trip, my family, into Dominican Republic, having a great time, and there we're going out into the villages there. It's a poor area also. And we said, you know, we should build a clinic in one of these villages because, you know, there's a lot of medical. In the Adventist circles, there's a lot of medical people that are very talented that would like to help in these areas. If you just have a program that you can define for them, they'll get involved in it. And that's part of the engineering side too, that we connect people together, people and resources in terms of projects. So it was a natural fit when we started getting involved. And we said, as the family, let's do something like this. Not just be ministered to in the church every week. Let's get out and see what we can put some of the talents and the things we know to work. Then I got a call from a man named Max Church, who had an orphanage in Haiti. He's actually on one of these pictures here, right here. Max Church, he started an orphanage in Haiti years ago, was fluent in French. But I went to visit him in the country. He invited me down there. And I was so taken by the poverty. I mean, Dominican Republic is a poor country, but Haiti is the extreme of poverty. 80% unemployment, 60% literacy. One meal a day. This isn't because they're eating this big meal. It's a one meal a day country. They have half the food that they need. And so, I mean, I'm seeing this as I'm there. And I come back from Haiti and I'm thinking, wow, we're going to do something in Haiti. But originally, we went and drilled some wells out in these remote villages and put solar pumps on them. We've had one well running in one village area for 10 years. It's pumped millions of gallons of water. Pumps always when the sun's out. People are under with buckets, 5 gallon buckets under that spigot all day long. Of course, they're not out at night, so you don't have to worry about a storage tank. Just let it pump in the daytime. We followed that with a clinic in that area. The people were asking us, could you help us with medical clinic? There was no medical care whatsoever, nothing, except the voodoo doctor. And so you're in an area, I've taken doctors there that have been in parts of Africa and other places, and they just said, Reg, we had no idea how bad it is in these outlying village areas. This is really early stages of the clinic, but it sits on a dirt road that people pass by. So it's well known, you know, a well-known location there where everybody sees it. Some of the things that have really been exciting about that clinic, we have a Haitian administrative nurse named Annie Preville. She is so amazing. She follows and goes after every program she can connect with. She gets a doctor from the government, if they have a doctor, an intern doctor, come out for a year. But the other things that she has done that's really amazing, I didn't think would be possible in this remote area, is she went and took TB training, how to evaluate a patient and cure the patient. The first time she screened the village that our clinic is in Arnaud, she had like 14 patients that had TB in that one village. Now you gotta realize, you know, how TB is spread, and these people have it in their little hut and they don't know, so it's going through the whole family. Well, she's curing those people. I've had pictures of them, and I tell them, you know, you're Lazarus, you've been raised from the dead. This was a death sentence until Annie got the training. This man, not a very good picture, but this man right here is Pastor Victor. Amazing man. We worked out there for a number of years and didn't know there was an Adventist out there. And then we saw a little sign up by a dirt floor church that said Temple Adventist. He
and his wife had gone picked that area to start a little church. His salary was $11 a month, and he had a little church going and a school with 60 students in it, dirt floor. And that's how we got involved in schools out there, when we realized this man at $11 a month was dedicated to stay out there with his wife and do something. The students are so poor there, they couldn't pay tuition. The tuition rate in the schools we have out there is $1.50 US for the year. And one third of the people can pay it. So he was running this little school on nothing. Here's his little church and school, dirt floor. You can see it here, very, very simple. And we took that over and rebuilt that building and made it a school and church with concrete floor and new walls. Well, here's a picture of it after we had worked on making concrete. So we put a program around him. He now has a school with 300 students in it. The first time we stopped with some support for his school year, we said, Pastor Victor, we went back and told your story at our church, and there people want to help you improve your program, stabilize your teachers by having a salary that you can depend on. He danced around my little pickup truck with his hands in the air and just danced around praising God going around the pickup. He was so excited that somebody would help him. He never asked for help. He never has asked for help, ever. He's just one of those bright stories of people that you run into who are dedicated, who are making a difference. And I'll show you our ready-mix concrete crew. We're building a school here. And like I said, with unemployment like it is, I can hire 50 men, 25, whatever. They come barefoot, mix concrete on the ground, and they'll bucket it to the forms. 12 yards a day we'll mix on the ground and carry to the forms in these 5-gallon buckets. And I'll move this picture and show you these are the forms that we're pouring concrete in, the vertical columns, and then the lintels that connect the columns with have rebar in it. But we only go one story, and we'll build a school like this. This school building here is 20 feet wide, and it's about 60 feet long. It'll have 150 students in it. And that building will cost us about 10,000 US to build. And we'll build those on one visit. We'll pour a slab and pour the columns and put the metal roof on, the windows and everything. We'll do that with one trip with a group of 15 to 20 people. This business that I'm retiring from is what I rely on in the work that we're doing in third world countries. I come back with a project like a water treatment plant or a generator plant for a hospital or school buildings or a clinic. I come here and my son very graciously lets me tap into the engineering pool that I need for the design of that building, which is to be built or that facility out of as much local materials as possible. So it's been a tremendous marriage in terms of our work in Haiti and Dominican Republic, Belize. And I remember had an engineer walk in. He was walked into the meeting late, and someone outside, I think it was one of the ASI officers, said, "Well, where are you from?" "Well, from King Engineering." "And well, what do you do?" "Well, you know, we work in Haiti and do da 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 da." Well, that particular person he was talking to had a need for an engineering design of a water treatment plant in Dominican Republic at an orphanage. So that connected the money from the donor to the engineering side, which they needed the design and the project management to build it. I love going to the different booths and seeing what people are doing, because you learn from that. You learn, sometimes it'll raise your goals and say, you know, I could be doing that. And an example of that would be when we started in Haiti, we really didn't think we could ever get into the medical, really an effective medical program. And I talked to a number of ASI programs that were involved with medical. As you know, in any of these programs, when you find a key person that's in the country, and that's what we've done, we work with in-country talent because when you can't get to the country, the program still continues on if you have those in-country talent. Finding those key people has been really, really critical. And so I came away from ASI realizing, you know, we could expand into the medical program in the countries. It's again a matter of resourcing people, talented people, and materials, and then having traveling groups that come with you that have doctors or dentists. And I've heard that from many people. They go there not really knowing what to expect and really coming away saying, well, I could do that. Last year, I had interviewed a young Haitian dentist. No chance of a job in the country. Bright man. He had no tools. He had no money to buy tools. So again, I said to our board of directors, I said, here's the talent we need in the country. He's been recommended to us by one of our Haitian coordinators in the country that we have a great deal of respect for. And so we said, you know, let's put him to work. And he's out there, and people come from 15 or 20 villages walk to him out at the clinic. And he does extractions, amalgam fillings, and composite work and cleaning. So, you know, you're not doing, braces or anything, but these people who had no dental care now have a dentist who does excellent work. And we're now taking a portable unit in March that the military uses, that we have a truck in the country that we're going to set up to where we're going to villages, other villages that can't get to ours, our dentist. We're going to go out to those villages, drive in, drop the curtains on the truck, and have an on-truck mobile dental program. And those are exciting. I mean, the dentists from here that go on those programs, they'll always stay connected to our program because they're doing things that they know are critical. It's not an argument of how are they going to get paid. They're not going to get paid. These people have no alternative. They're so thankful for the service that it connects the dentists and the people that go with our program forever.
ASI is committed to getting lay people involved in missions and service, just like Reg King. The Lord can do amazing things through professionals who are willing to give Him their time and talents. I encourage you to look for ways to get active in sharing Christ in the marketplace. To learn more about ASI, visit www.asiministries.org. I'm Dan Houghton. You've been watching ASI Video Magazine. See you next time for more stories of ASI members sharing Christ in the marketplace. May God be with you.